You probably think that I went into deadly combat against Rufus and got myself thrashed. Or maybe you think that I thrashed him. A long shot, I'll admit, but strange things happen in this old world. Well, the truth is that neither happened. Rufus and I were in the preliminary growl stage of the big fight when, much to my surprise and relief, Slim and Billy came walking out of the machine shed and saw us.
Say, Slim, you better get old Hank out of my pickup before Rufus eats him up.
Slim came at a run. Okay, not exactly a run, but maybe a trot. He reached over the tailgate, grabbed me by the tail, and began pulling me backwards. I must admit that his sudden appearance made me feel somewhat bolder. When he began pulling me backwards, I locked down all four legs, leaned towards Rufus, and added a little volume to my growling. It had kind of a nice effect, the growling plus the screech of my claws on the floor of the pickup bed. Well, it looks like they've saved you this time, Rufus. One more minute and they never would have pulled me off.
Ha! One more minute and they wouldn't have found you, jerk, because you'd have been sawdust.
You're a big talker, Rufus, and we know you're the champ at beating up widows and orphans. But one of these days... His eyes lit up.
Yeah? One of these days what? Come on, cowdog. Don't stutter. Name the day and time.
Well, I...
Meet me this afternoon on the hill above my place.
Today? I'd have to, check my...
4 o'clock. That gives you 2 hours to get there.
Well, I... That's the hottest part of the day, and don't you think...
Be there. And if you ain't there, you're nothing but a yellow chicken. And I'll be twice as mean to your girlfriend, and it'll be your fault.
By that time, Slim had gotten a good grip on me and lifted me out of the pickup. Billy said goodbye and drove away. Rufus was sitting on his spare tire, looking like a king on his throne, while Beulah waved a sad goodbye and Plato squeezed himself deeper into his corner. When the sounds of the motor faded in the distance, Slim looked down at me and shook his head.
Well, you dodged a cannonball there, Pooch. If I hadn't come out just when I did, they'd be searching for your bodily parts right now.
Yes, I realized that, although...
It ain't smart to pick fights with the heavyweight champion of the neighborhood. And some people would even say it's dumb.
He reached down and scratched me behind the ears.
But just between us dogs, I'm kind of proud of you for thinking about it. I never did care for that hateful thing. How about a little reward?
I perked up at that. Yes, a little reward would be nice, or even a big reward.
I'd sure like to buy you steak.
A steak? Huh, that might work.
Only I ain't got one. So how about doubles on dog food?
Plain, old, ordinary, dry dog food? Gee, I had hoped...
Special deluxe co-op hot rod ration. How does that sound?
Well, not as good as a steak, but hot rod ration, huh? It might be all right. We went to the machine shed. As you may know, we dogs ate our dog food from an overturned Ford hubcap. Slim poured it full of this exotic new type of dog food, and I began crunching.
I soon realized that he had been exercising his sense of humor. It was the same old stuff. Hard, dry kernels that tasted like a mixture of sawdust and stale grease.
I beamed him a wounded look which said, "This is it? No steak?"
"That's the best we've got, Pooch," take it or leave it. Just because you had one heroic thought don't mean you get to dine at Mrs. Astor's table. Fine. I would collect my measly little reward and go on about my life. Double dog food wasn't steak, but it beat a poke in the eye with a sharp stick. And who was Mrs. Astor anyway? I was crunching my way through the heap of dry, tasteless kernels when Drover poked his head out of the machine shed. He glanced to the left and to the right, and then he came creeping out.
Hi, Hank. What you doing?
I'm trying to eat petrified camel droppings.
I'll be darned. It looks just like dog food to me.
Some people call it that.
Can I have a bite?
No. By the way, Drover, where were you when the fighting broke out?
Well, let's see. I guess I took a wrong turn and sort of ended up in the machine shed.
I see. Did it occur to you that I might need your help?
Oh, yeah, but by the time I made it to the machine shed, this old leg was about to kill me. See?
He limped around in a circle.
Terrible pain, but I heard the whole thing.
What did you think?
I thought...
He looked up at the sky.
I thought you'd lost your mind and were fixing to lose your life, is what I thought.
As a matter of fact, Drover, that's closer to the truth than you might suppose. I told him the whole story about the root stimulator.
Well, I'll be darned. I thought you got all that energy from the grasshopper.
No. The stupid grasshopper almost strangled me, thanks to you and your bonehead ideas.
Mine was pretty good. Tasted like chicken.
Mine did not taste like chicken, and it did not give me one bit of energy.
Oh, well. Everything turned out all right. You didn't have to fight Rufus, and now it's all behind you.
I lifted my head from the bowl and stared at the runt. What do you mean, it's all behind me?
Well, let's see. The world's divided up into what's up front and what's behind. What's behind is over, and what's up front is under, and I think I'm getting confused.
Didn't you hear what he said? He challenged me to a duel in 2 hours. In other words, it's not over yet.
Oh, that, yeah. I heard it, but I knew you wouldn't be dumb enough to show up. Boy, that would be about the dumbest thing in the world, going down to...
His eyes popped open.
Hank, you wouldn't do such a thing, would you?
I paced several steps away and looked off into the distance. Drover, what I'm about to say might shock you.
Then maybe we could talk about something else.
There are times when my position as head of ranch security becomes a heavy burden. It's not just a job, you see. It's a calling, a mission.
I went fishing once.
I'm judged by standards unknown to ordinary dogs, standards that are sometimes almost impossible to attain.
Yeah, and that's time to quit.
Exactly. It's a heavy load indeed. Drover, have you ever heard of the ancient samurai?
Oh, yeah. It's a steakhouse in Amarillo.
What?
I said... Well, let's see here. I said they house snakes in Amarillo.
No. It has nothing to do with snakes.
Oh, good. I'm scared of snakes.
And they don't operate out of Amarillo. The ancient samurai were a society of warriors who lived in some strange, faraway land.
California?
Right, something like that. And they lived by a higher code than ordinary people, Drover. They were warriors who protected the innocent, fought for justice, and devoted their lives to righting wrong.
I always wanted to be a writer.
And so it is with the head of ranked security. We are driven by a higher duty.
My name's Drover.
We must do not merely what is safe and comfortable, but what is right.
I think I got a novel in me somewhere.
What?
I said, well, let's see here. Oh, yeah, I think I got a novel in me somewhere.
Open your mouth. He did, and I looked inside. No, that's called the Ulterior Punching Bagus, so named because it resembles a little punching bag.
I'll be darned. Maybe I ought to try boxing.
Exactly. I tried to pick up my train of thought. What were we talking about?
Mop water, I think.
Oh, yes. It was once believed that mop water could restore energy and so forth, but that's not what we were talking about, Drover. And I'm beginning to wonder if you've been listening.
Oh, yeah, I heard it all. Something about a guy named Sam who traded snakes in Amarillo.
No, not Sam. Rufus. And let's skip to the bottom line because, frankly, Drover, I'm beginning to find this conversation a little confusing.
Yeah, me too.
The bottom line is that honor and duty demand that I accept Rufus's challenge and fight a duel to the death.
That's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
What?
I said, oh boy, good, yippee.
Thanks, Drover, but there's more. Do I dare reveal the rest? Hang on and let me think about it.